Technorama episode 533 for May 16, 2018, Spider-Man Halo.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, I just got back from Vegas and I can't find my chips.
Over there, in the media corner.
Not those kind of chips.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Hey, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first...
Huh?
Donna's phone was not muted. I'm talking over there.
Oh.
That's the way Technorama goes. Duct tape and chicken wire, kids. It'll save your life. This is the show that takes a look at science and all that other stuff I already mentioned. If you're returning... Welcome back. You know what you're in for. A whole lot of nonsense. And if you're new, you get a whole lot of nonsense. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and joining me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
What? I'm doing great.
Look at this. He's in the studio.
Hey, I'm alive.
He's in sync. His audio matches his mouth.
Yes, for a change. Hey, give me another 10 minutes and it might not be the case.
He's going to be talking like a bad Japanese dub movie.
No, I won't.
Also joining us in the Binary Studio, longtime guest and former owner of the house, Michael R. Menigay.
Hey, Technorama.
The man behind every episode you hear.
That's right.
And joining us for the first time in a very long time and always appreciated, the good old Brian Brown.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, I can photobomb his webcam.
come back here one more time.
Stay in your own
come
square.
Just right here. Right there.
Craig, they didn't do it on the Brady Bunch because it didn't work.
Yeah.
Right. You didn't see Alice hopping over into Cindy's cube.
That was the special episodes. Never mind.
Wow.
And we are going to be having a very,
it's
going to
be a long, interesting evening.
Yeah, Craig's had a few drinky
indeed.
Drinkies.
And that's always a
good
fun thing. Well,
just
wait
Craig?
Wait till the history.
All right.
Oh, yes.
We're at the history.
Okay. Oh, we're at history?
Grab your D20.
Already?
Roll them, boys. Oh, boy.
Oh, damn.
Wait. No, it can't be more damn than mine.
Hey. No, it can.
Okay.
Look. 18.
Okay.
Bam. There you go.
Brian?
17 for me.
Okay.
I tripped on a rake and died. I have a 1.
I have a 3.
Wow. I tripped a dental floss.
I put the rake in front of you.
Right.
Man. So now that Mike has killed himself, what
Pretty
does that
much.
Mean?
We're going Craig, Brian, Chuck, Michael.
Mike. Okay.
There's really no systematic way of doing this. It's not around the room. It's not even around the webcams. It is what it is. Remember your order and try to keep up. Here we go. No, that's
wrong,
the feedback.
Wrong music.
Wow, this is going to be a fun show today.
Stop. On this day in history for May 16th, 2018, this is the 168th day of the year, 136th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 229 days remaining in 2018. You know, that first one should have been bulleted, so I guess that's yours, Craig.
Go ahead. It was on this date in 1568 that Mary, Queen of Scots, flees to England.
You are Mary, Queen of Scots?
I am.
May 16th, 1770, a 14-year-old Marie Antoinette marries 15-year-old Louis Auguste, who later became King of France.
It was 175 years ago today that the first major wagon train headed for the Pacific Northwest that sets out from on the Oregon Trail with 1,000 pioneers from Elm Grove, Missouri, and 300 died from
dysentery. That's what happened to Mike.
That's it. Also on May 16th, 1866, the United States Congress establishes the nickel.
And Nickelback was born.
Yeah. No, that was in Canada.
Right. It was also on this date in 1888, Nikola Tesla delivered a lecture describing the equipment which will allow efficient generation and use of alternating currents to transmit electric power over long distances.
The technology we still use to
That's
this
right.
day.
Absolutely.
He yeah. won.
Westinghouse
took it over. Yeah.
Thanks, Edison.
He won. Right. He was taken.
Yeah. May 16th, 1891, the International Electric Technical Exhibition opens in Frankfurt, Germany, and will feature the world's first long-distance transmission of high-power, three-phase electrical current. Of course, the most common form today.
There you go. Another Westinghouse invention.
That same date in 1919, a naval Curtiss NSC-4 aircraft commanded by Albert Cushing Reed leaves Trepassey, Newfoundland for Lisbon via the Azores on the first transatlantic flight.
Wow.
That brave people back then.
I'm glad Craig didn't have that one. Yeah.
You're not the only one.
It was also this date in 1929 that Hollywood, the first Academy Awards ceremonies, take place.
Oscar.
That's right. That same date in 1951, the first regularly scheduled transatlantic flight between Idlewild Airport, now JFK International Airport, in New York City, and Heathrow Airport in London, operated by EIA.
I think that's Al
Azrael.
ABCD.
It looked like initials at first. Yeah. Al Israel Airlines.
Artificial intelligence in there somewhere.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
May 16th, 1960, Theodore Mainman operates the first optical laser, a ruby laser, at Hughes Research Laboratory in Malibu, California.
1960, 58 years ago.
Well, pew, 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 pew. A little earlier than that. I could get off on a tangent on Tesla since we were talking about him.
But. That same date in 1969, via the Venera program, Venera 5, a Soviet space probe, lands on Venus.
Ooh.
How'd that go for you?
Yeah. 30 years ago today, a report by the Surgeon General of the United States, C. Everett Koop, states that the addictive properties of nicotine are similar to those of heroin and cocaine.
Wow. And it was 27 years ago today, the Queen Elizabeth II of the United Kingdom addressed a joint session of United States Congress. She is the first British monarch to address the U.S. Congress.
My husband and I would like to thank you for your contribution, and we want our taxes.
Sounds like Julia Childs.
I was going to say.
Just FYI.
She addressed Congress, too,
Julia
I think.
Julia Childs is more dumb than the back of the throat. Back of the throat. The castle.
And on May 16th, 2011, STS-134 ISS Assembly Flight ULF-6 launched from Kennedy Space Center on the 25th, and the final flight for the Space Shuttle Endeavor.
That's a lot of letters in that one.
Yeah, it was.
Happy birthday goes out of the state to Italian, mathematician and philosopher Maria Gaetana Agnesi, born on this date in 1718.
Elizabeth Palmer Peabody, American educator who founded the first U.S. kindergarten, was born on that same date.
Didn't know that was a thing that had to be invented.
I'm kind of surprised by that, but okay.
All right, guys, brace yourself. Born May 16th, 1821, Russian mathematician and scientist,
Paddy Shabovsky.
Or Shabovsky.
Pofnutny Shabaskev.
A Russian dude.
Pofnutny Shabaskev.
Yes. Welsh-American physicist, co-inventor of the microphone, David Edward Hughes, was born 187 years ago today.
Do you know why it was co-invented of the microphone?
Why is that?
Because someone had to be listening.
Bravo.
We wouldn't have podcasts thanks to this guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Touche. There you go.
Henry Fonda, the American actor, was born 113 years ago today.
American pianist and entertainer Liberace was born on this date in 1919.
I think it's pronounced Librace.
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 That's Liberace, but yes.
Also born 93 years ago today is American astronomer Nancy Roman.
Also born on that same date in 1938, American computer scientist and academic Ivan Sutherland.
Or is it Yvonne?
Yvonne.
Could be Yvonne, but
it could
who
be
knows.
Yvonne. It just depends.
Canadian physician and astronaut David Williams. I just put an accent on there for fun. It's not Canadian. It's not anything. He was born on this date in 1954.
Also born on that same date in 1966, American songwriter, producer, dancer, and actress Janet Jackson.
And American actress, reality television personality, and author Tori Spelling. Spelling.
You killed Chuck.
With a week of
I knew I'd get him. Tori Spelling was born on this date in 1973.
It reminds me of that scene from Rocky where he's doing the commercial in the first movie.
Yes, splash it on my face to smeal mainly.
Oh, never a dull moment, Craig. Never a dull awesome. Moment. High five.
That yeah, is five. Why you are here, Craig. You are awesome.
Listener birthdays today, this week, include one, Tim Elliott on May 22nd. Happy birthday to you. And if it's your birthday this week, we wish you all the best. If you want to get your name on our birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. Add it. It's free. We'll give you a shout out the appropriate time of year, even if it's not this week. If it's some week in the future, we'd love to hear from you. That's the...
Hold on,
mute,
trying to
Craig, mute. Mute, Craig. Actually, I should do this. Too one. Many computers in the studio leads to chaos. Happy birthday. That's the way it was on this day in history for May 16th. I'm not sure what I did there yesterday. Not April. May 16th, 2018. Ooh, we made it.
Woo! We made it.
Knock that off
it's
the bucket
craziness
list.
In here. There are squirrels in the studio.
They came with the house.
Yeah. Michael just left them here.
Yeah, he left the squirrels
here. He named right. them.
He raised them and left them.
Oh, my.
All right, let's see if we can find something appropriate here.
Here. Appropriate? No.
Startling news, everyone.
Yes, this is startling news. I'm not sure who wants to take on this first one. Let's make the font a little larger here.
Yo, I
wow,
do.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I do.
Okay, go, okay, ahead,
go for it.
Okay, so scientists are preparing to create miniature brains and like a pinky up to the lips, you know, and you think something's going to happen here. They have been genetically engineered to contain Neanderthal DNA in an unprecedented attempt to understand how humans differ from their closest relatives.
Huh.
In the next few months, a small blobs of tissue. I'm sorry, that just looks, I get a funny visual
small
from that.
Small blobs of tissue.
Yeah. Known as brain organoids.
Will organoids.
Be organoids.
Brain organoids.
I think
there is my new band name.
Yeah. Yes,
we are the Brain Organoids.
No, no. And you will play just organ music.
That's yes. right.
But not just brain, Neanderthal brain organoids.
There you go.
Yes. So they will be grown from human stem cells that have been edited to contain Neanderthalized.
Neanderthalized
versions
yes, that's pretty
of
good.
Several genes.
Wow.
The lentil-sized organoids have been...
They're the size of a lentil.
Which are incapable of thought. How do they know that? Or feelings. Replicate some of the basic structures of the adult of an adult brain.
We are here. We yeah. are here. Yeah.
And when you poke it with the probe, it goes... Yeah.
That's how they can't tell with his thoughts or feelings. It just That's goes, ugh, right. ugh.
So they could demonstrate for the first time that if there were meaningful differences between human and Neanderthal brain biology.
Interesting. Well, I actually have no comment on this. This is kind
of
cool.
I went on to read the rest of the article, and I think there's some interesting stuff in here. We know more about, we've cracked the Neanderthal genome.
Mm-hmm.
So they're now trying to understand more about what are the scientific differences between Homo sapiens and Neanderthals.
Are the neurons the same? How right. do they are the chemical processes are, between the firings the same?
Well, how do they know
the,
that?
Were well, they more well? The other question that I read in here was: are they more sensitive or insensitive to pain? I mean, they were robust people, mm-hmm. right? I mean, their bones were bigger. Their
what was bigger?
Bones.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. Just checking.
Bones.
Their brows, too.
Yes.
Their brows are definitely bigger.
Heavy brow
that's what
ranges.
I was looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's been said that, you know, some Neanderthal DNA is still in society. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You look at some people sure. and they clearly have a heavier brow ridge. and a sloped forehead. Well, that pretty much describes look, well, my
there's,
boss.
There's so much. Wait a minute. Look, I'm on the webcam.
there's so much. You're the dude what with they the toothpick want to call in the back. Junk DNA in our DNA sequence. They call it junk because it doesn't seem to be active. We don't really know what it does. We're not certain that it's completely, you know, dormant or not usable. But the more we dig into it, and the more scientists dig into it, the more interesting things we're finding is that there is a coordination between the stuff that seems dormant and turned off and the stuff that's active. If you take that junk DNA out, it does affect, it does cause changes. So how that interaction is, we're still trying to figure out. This could be a piece of actually telling us
more
how that works,
history.
About yeah. how yeah. that works. Not to mention the fact that if this goes in and it actually starts activating some of that dormant genome that we can actually trace back, that could be a very fascinating finding.
Yeah, I think the more we know about the history, because I've mm-hmm. heard, I haven't heard recently, but at one point 10, 15, 20 years ago, somebody said there used to be a lot more biodiversity in Homo sapiens.
Yes.
Then what was it, 75,000 years ago or something, there was a great dying off. And our genetic diversity was scary. We were down to extinction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we were, we would have been on the endangered species list if we had one at the time.
Yes.
And we really don't have that much diversity. And that's important when it comes to diseases.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And there's so much more. Well, I mean, I don't want to get into the politics.
Craig, I don't know about you, but I'm just waiting for a Neanderthal park. You know, when we have them roaming free, I can, you know, be out in the Jeep and I can see them. You know, that's what I'm really excited for.
It's going to look like a Geico commercial.
Do not feed the Neanderthals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Actually, I've seen some people where alcohol activated their Neanderthal in DNA.
That happens every weekend all around the world.
Frat boys around the world. Yes indeedy.
It does. Yeah, that's why hazings happen.
You see? Let's go from the humans of the past to the humans of the future.
Yes, indeed.
Actually, okay, this video right here, I can totally see this guy carrying a gun and running through the park.
Mm-hmm.
Have y'all seen this video?
Oh, yes. We've seen all of them. Oops. We don't need to. You're not getting paid for this commercial, Kurt.
We're not getting paid for this commercial.
No, we don't need to run that commercial. You're not getting paid for
it. Boston Dynamics released a new video of two of the company's robots, the two of the favorites, Atlas and Spot Mini, showing off some of the new features running an autonomous navigation.
Mm-hmm.
So
the backflips and the picking up stuff. I mean, they're doing amazing stuff.
You did see the third season of Black Mirror, right?
Oh, yes.
That dog, it,
uh-huh.
Someone really...
I know.
It's freaky how
and
scary that is.
And the sucker can go up and down stairs now,
yes.
Which is... It's
and
like,
they have a picture of him putting away... The Boston Dynamics dog putting dishes in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
It's like, wait till he starts putting the steak knives away. I'm like, no, stay
right?
away from the knives.
Right?
Hey, I think the name Atlas is an acronym for a T-1000.
Well, I think Boston Dynamics is just, I think they're an evil group. I really think they're a whole bunch of just evil supervillains that have created these things to take over the world, and they're putting this out on YouTube just to nullify us into a false sense of security.
They're going to start the singularity.
Absolutely. They were going to take they're going to start the robot apocalypse.
Well, as soon as we get the AI that goes with it, that's the key.
Yeah, well, yeah, Google's working on that.
Right, exactly.
Have you said, you saw the thing
about
the Google thing?
An audio clip.
Holy cow. You put these two things together. Together, humanity is done.
Mike, we need to schedule an appointment to get your stuff out of this house.
Tell you what, I'm digging a cave out in the desert right now.
Not anymore.
No, you can have your robot dog dig it for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, why not? What could possibly go wrong?
You jump in the hole and he buries you in.
That's right. Might as well just go out there and lay down and just let him cover you up.
Right.
We're all done.
We have space news for you, Michael.
Yay! Which one? I probably know
it
already.
The asteroid that was found way, way out there.
Oh, the carbon-rich one. The first one that has carbon in it?
Yep.
Yeah. What the hell is the name of that?
EW95.
EW95, yep, that's the one. A fragment from his early days of our solar system has been discovered 4 billion kilometers from Earth. That's actually not that far.
Say it like Carl Sagan.
4 billion kilometers.
That sounds more like Biff from Harvard.
Shut up, butthead.
Wrong Biff.
I can't get my mouth right to do the Carl Sagan billions thing. I never could get the millions because it always sounds like some demented vampire. So
blah blah billions and billions.
Anyway, 4 billion miles is not that far. Actually, it's
kilometers.
2 billion miles, 4 billion kilometers. The first of its kind has been found. What the hell am I saying here?
So far away,
2004 EW95 is a carbon-rich asteroid that currently resides in the Kepler Belt, a cold region beyond the orbit of Neptune. Oh, I thought this was Earth's closer than that.
Nope.
Never
no,
mind.
No, it's way
that
out.
That is way out there.
Most asteroids are in the asteroid belt.
That's right. That's where I thought this was. Sorry, I was not right. I should have read ahead.
Don't worry.
Astronomers suspect that the 300-kilogram long object was formed in an asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter before being ejected into the outer reaches of the solar system. That's why I was thinking it was at Mars. While performing routine observation using the Hubble telescope, Queen's University Belfast astronomer Dr. Weasley Fraser noticed something unusual about one of the distant asteroids he was monitoring. Its reflectance spectrum, the pattern of light reflecting from it, marked it out from the neighboring bodies. The reflectance spectrum of the 2004 EW95 was clearly distinct from the other observations from the others observed in the outer solar system objects. It looked enough of weirdo for us to take a closer look.
That's what my neighbor said.
Apparently a scientist can't make good sentences.
It looked enough of a weirdo. That is kind of strange.
He's from Belfast.
He's okay. From Belfast.
All right. I'm sorry.
Measurements taken using the European Southern Observatory's ESO Very Large Telescope allowed the team to determine it was formed from carbon, suggesting it originated in the inner solar system.
You know what I love about that is that they call the Very Large Telescope.
Yes.
Not the medium-sized telescope.
The very large.
Yeah, or not the small telescope. The Very Large Telescope.
Very large.
Not compensating for anything, are you guys?
Very, very large. It's a very large.
It's a very large.
Big,
it's the biggest telescope
ever.
That's right. It's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
Mine's huge. Bigger than yours.
It should actually be a huge telescope. Not very large.
This idea was confirmed by the presence of minerals called ferric oxides and phyllosilicates, which have never been confirmed before in an asteroid from the Kuiper Belt and are another indicator that it first emerged closer to the sun.
So what they're thinking is, I don't know, you probably heard the theory that Saturn and Jupiter at one point came in very close. There were many more planets in the solar system than there are the 8 or 9. Take your pick if Pluto's a planet or planetoid or whatever you want to call it. But there used to be more. Some collided, like Theia ran into Earth, made the moon. We have that theory. And when Jupiter and Saturn, I don't know what triggered this, but they came in. And some planets got ejected. And
there was some, there was some speculation that Neptune was actually a captured planet, that it wandered into our solar system, spun around the moon, spun around the sun, and dislodged a whole bunch of stuff on its way in and out. That's why Neptune's ring is in a different orientation Saturn's.
Uranus is almost 90 degrees.
Is it then it was Uranus that I was thinking of. So Uranus was the one that was a captured.
Yeah. Or it got knocked silly in its
orbit. It got knocked silly and got transferred in its orbit. But they're thinking, I watched the animation of it and it actually makes sense. I think it was on a special that Brian Cox did where they're talking about this wandering planet coming in and basically being captured by our system, which moved everything weird, and it may have actually destroyed one of the planet, which is what that asteroid belt is in between Mars and so forth. Yep. That could be the remnants of a planet that just kind of got obliterated by this entire event.
And as this process was happening, things are flinging all over the place. Yeah. And
it's a giant shooting gallery out there.
Yeah.
Billiard balls.
And now they've found this carbon-rich asteroid way out in the Kuiper Belt mm-hmm. that, which I want to start a clothing line and have a Kuiper Belt. And
a Kuiper Belt.
Kuiper boots.
And an asteroid belt.
An asteroid.
That would be the one that droops down and shows your butt crack, but never mind.
No, you sure that wouldn't be a Uranus boot?
That would be the Uranus.
I mean, Uranus
one.
Belt.
Underwear.
Uranus underwear.
Wow.
We're going to stop there.
See, we're going to stop, definitely. Yes.
I wish I had that audio clip from Futurama where he says, oh, we named that planet due to that bad joke. You don't call it Uranus anymore? What do you call it? Urectum.
Wow.
Right. Oh, that poor planet. It will never it will never live that name down.
As much fun as that is. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with some more good stuff in the Media Corner and the Geek Library. So stick with us and hang on. We're having more fun.
Yeah, hang on. All right.
Technorama, the podcast for geeks, available at chuckchat.com.
Hold it. Hold it. Where's the excitement? What about the whole lighthearted way Chuck and Craig look at the news stories?
Okay, let me try that again. Technorama, hang out with Chuck and Craig for a geek podcast like no other.
Hold up. Again, really? That's what you got? What about things like hacks and strange stories, retro stuff, and the remember when... And don't forget about the attempts to pronounce names like on this day in history. It's an hour of insanity. Come on.
Okay. How about this?
Movies, TV, games, technology, science. Nobody does it like Technorama. Available at chuckchat.com.
Whoa. Now I have goosebumps on my dongle.
Geek Thoughts. Software and cathedrals are much the same. First we build them, then we pray.
Hi, this is Erin Gray, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
You pray to your software?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Software is my God.
Daily.
Quick shout out to the people that are joining us live on Facebook. We do this every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We love to see you there. If you happen to be around, subscribe to the channel or subscribe to the page. Is it a page or a group? I got to remember.
Yes.
Yes, whatever. And you'll get notified when we go live. It's a great old time. Joining us there, Craig, why don't you give the roll call to these wonderful people that have hanged out with us.
Okay, let me go over here. I got John Miller Jr., Jet Tiong. He's a co-worker.
Warning. Yep. Keep it safe.
Mike Robinson. Yeah. Mike Robinson.
Crazy Joe.
Crazy Joe in there.
Joe.
Davey Cruz, an old co-worker.
Clinton.
Yeah, Clinton was in there. Donna.
No.
Congratulations,
really?
Donna.
Wow. From all the way across the studio. Yeah.
That's right. I think
that was a long commute.
I think that's about it there right now.
All right. Thank you for joining us. And again, we'd love to see you there. Give you a shout out. Also want to give a thank you to our patrons. Got to play the patron music.
Oh,
just hits me right there every week when we do this. Thank you to our wonderful patrons. This show is brought to you by you. You help keep the software upgraded. You help keep the bandwidth going, the hosting costs. Thank you to Kyle Nishioka, a.k.a. Mad Marv, Abner Braverman. There may be a chance in the future to see you, not too distant future. Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Megapodtastic, Night Gig Studios, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, Leon, John Noble, not that John Noble.
I was going to say, what?
Wow.
That John Noble?
Not that John Noble. Okay. Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, and Jorga Schrauen. Thank you very much for supporting this show. If you want to get your name on this really cool list and get extra content that nobody else gets, timed with the music.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast and get yourself for as little as a dollar a show. If we don't produce, you don't pay. That's the cool part about Patreon. That
your name could go in that empty box right down
Craig
the corner.
Craig is a little ODC today. Or o- no. oh, COD.
CDO.
CDO. CDO. I'm a little intoxicated today.
No, we're yes.
Honest, Ossifer, I'm not as think as you drunk I am.
That's right.
Jeez, that's old.
Yes,
that's old
it
as me.
Still works.
Take me drunk, I'm home.
Thank you for supporting this. We want to see you over there. Patreon.com/TechnoRamaPodcast, as it said on the little subtitle you saw down there. So with that, we're going to fade out the music. We will go to the media corner, which I believe is this gray button.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
All right, Brian.
So astronomers believe there are more than 40 billion planets inhabiting the space of the Milky Way. There are about that many shows on Netflix, sci-fi, and fantasy with that tag specifically. Right. So there's actually probably 80 billion shows, a lot of them crap on Netflix. But hey, you know, yes. Not everybody can be a winner. So reaching them all in a single lifetime require obviously a lot of bandwidth and a lot of just life bandwidth.
Mm-hmm. Couch bandwidth.
Yeah, exactly. If you
meat
know,
space.
We don't need to tell you, of course, that Rogue One's there. Armageddon, Guardians of the Galaxy, there are a lot of them on there. But there's some, these are some of the ones that are kind of not maybe as well known. One of them is Psychokinesis. It's actually pretty cool.
Have you seen
I watched part of it.
So. I have not seen this one yet. This is this is a foreign one, if I
so,
remember
so
right.
So this is a Korean, Koreaner, yep. Yang Sang-ho. A Yang Sang-ho, yeah. Best known for Train to Busan. Have you guys seen that
oh,
one?
Oh, yes. That was good.
Yeah, it's no, great. It's on Netflix really as well. Good. It's
okay. Ooh.
Yes.
So Psychokinesis follows Shin, a bumbling borderline alcoholic security guard who drinks from a mountain spring, recently infected with a meteorite, and gains telekinetic powers.
See, of that's course. Why I keep drinking my hey. Sake. One of these so. Days,
you're gonna get the radioactive
I'm going to get the radioactive infected sake, and that's it.
See, Mike is the story. It's always, you know, the doofs who get the superpowers.
That's right. I'm waiting for it. I'll be the next Chuck. Sounds, I'm good with that.
By the way, that sounds like an ad for Irish Spring. Legend has it, if you take a dip in the spring, you'd be fresh for the rest of your days.
I thought it was Kiss the Blarney Stone.
So but, you know. You've That's seen it. Part of Psychokinesis.
Yeah, I watched the first about 30 minutes of it. It's great.
All right, what else is on the list here?
Beyond Skyline.
It is Skyline.
So Skyline was really a crappy movie, okay?
Yeah. It started out really good.
There was a prequel.
Yes, there was one before this.
The original Skyline was 45 minutes of, wow, this could be a really awesome movie. And then 45 minutes of, what the hell did they do to this movie?
Yeah. So the good thing is Beyond Skyline has Frank Grillo, who is also in, you know, Captain America Winter Soldier. He plays a continuation of the same thing, which finds this LAPD detective rescuing his son from abduction and then rescuing his son from inside the hull of a brain extracting vessel.
Yes.
Then rescuing a hybrid human alien baby from a battalion of slobbering aliens.
Yep.
And then helping a band of Laotian freedom fighters rescue humanity from the final wave of the invasion.
That's right, because where else would you like to be but in a jungle in Laotia?
Yeah.
So, fighting aliens underground.
Yeah, if
Laotian, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Laotia's not a country.
Yeah, I know. It's Laos.
So if that kind of, you know,
it's like Canada. I call it Canada too. So
I actually almost said that today.
It's Kanakistan.
Kanakistan.
I like that one better, actually.
So if you like Skyline, you'll probably like this. If you like, you know, that kind of action thing.
All right.
It was something. Yep.
April in the Extraordinary World, 2015. Never
oh,
seen.
Oh, do not. I have
I've
not
never seen,
that. Seen
this. Based on the style of graphic novelist Jacques Tardy, who also provided the basis of the story, this French-Belgian animation thriller starts with a gene-splicing experiment gone wrong, twists with a plot to kidnap the world's scientists, and then introduces us to a politically torn steampunk world through the eyes of April, a brilliant orphan developing a serum that could infinitely extend human life. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun. This next one is one of my favorite freaking movies.
I own this movie. You put me onto this, and yes. I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Circle. I love Circle.
Circle?
This could have been a Black Mirror episode.
Oh, absolutely. Easily. It's just a longer version of Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Without warning and without a single clue, they wound up confined to a circular death grid. 50 people find themselves playing the most literal round of Survivor ever.
Damn, is it?
Every 2 minutes, the participants from across the demographic spectrum of age, race, and profession cast psychic votes to determine the next victim of an energy-blasting alien
only
orb.
It takes them half of the people to figure out why half of the people are disappearing.
There are people just dropping dead, bam, and it's like, what is this minutes, happening?
Yeah. Every 2 minutes, they go, huh, what happened?
Yeah. I'm out of here.
Wait a minute. Oh, we have to vote. How do you vote? Well, it takes like five people dying before you figure out how you vote. It is brilliant.
Is this part of the Saw series?
No. This is a standalone indie. Another one in that vein is Would You Rather. That's phenomenally good one. In fact, I love that one. That one's got Sasha Grey in it too, which is pretty cool.
So Mike and I recommend Circle.
Would You Rather.
Here's another one we both love.
Cube. Cube. Let's see. There's
this one's
Cube.
Older.
Wait a minute. Yeah, Circle. Cube's around. Cube. Rectangle,
polygon,
cube. You know, cube. There's actually a trilogy of cube.
Yeah,
There's a hypercube, which is the last one. Cube, and the first one is the prequel that came at the end of them all.
Yes,
but if you want to really watch them, you should watch Cube Zero, then Cube, and then Hypercube. That way, then you actually have them in chronological order.
Okay,
and they make a hell of a lot more sense.
Yeah, because Cube, you're watching, you're like,
what's going on? And so when you have Cube Zero with the reference of that, and then you go into Cube makes a whole hell of a lot more sense.
Okay.
And it's pretty cool setting up for Hypercube.
By the way, they did say that Cube 2 is on Netflix also.
Yep. Yes, it is. It is. And Cube Zero is on there too.
So Cube is basically a bunch of people that are, you know, incarcerated in a high-tech death trap, and they have to figure their way out.
Yes. Yeah.
That's basically
another one in the series of Saw. Okay.
Well, it's different than that. So say that you could actually be inside of a Rubik's cube.
Right.
So if each of those Rubik's cubes was a room and you were stuck inside of there and you had to basically figure out, but each of the rooms could kill you in really horrible, horrible ways.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So it's pretty awesome. Okay.
Again, it sounds like Saw.
I like that too.
I think Mike
and I saw this movie together
years ago.
I will say that Moon.
Yeah,
I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Oh, yes. It's fantastic.
We saw it in the theater. We were going to go see Harry Potter, and Moon was out at the same time. And we were like,
let's do this. And this movie was like, we came out of that like, wow,
what have I seen?
That was awesome. This is like 2001 meets. Freaking, well, I don't want to give
don't
it away.
Spoil it.
I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, so, highly recommend Moon. Moon is really good. It's got Duncan Jones is his first directorial
bid.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't his first, was it? I thought it was his second.
It might be his second,
This is the second in his series, and I'm trying to remember the...
No, this is his first one.
This is a standalone movie.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's Sam Rockwell, who does a beautiful job just being Sam Rockwell.
Yep. And then Kevin Spacey has a voice part in it as well.
Yeah.
So, but basically, it's they're mining the moon, and so it's
I'm sorry, A Mute came after this.
Yes.
And they had like Sam Rockwell doing, you know, a couple of parts against himself.
Mute
really?
Could really?
I don't know.
Yeah. Isn't that right?
I don't know.
Mute's pretty new. It came out just this last year.
Right. And it's also in the same universe.
Oh really?
Should I spoil it?
No.
Because if you haven't seen this, it is a brilliant, brilliant film, and you should watch it.
Is Mute on Netflix?
It is.
Okay.
Actually, it's a Netflix exclusive, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, let's go get it.
But you'll see Sam Rockwell in there.
Okay, that's good to know.
All right.
Okay.
Next on the list?
They call me Jeeg.
I do not know that one.
I don't know that one either.
They call me who?
Jeeg. America's not the only country fascinated by superhero stories. An ode to the 1970s anime Steel Jeeg. I imagine.
Okay.
Jeeg, I don't know. By the way of Unbreakable, this Italian drama stars Claudio Santamaria,
Well, I filled in for Christian Bale in the Italian dub of Batman Begins as Enzio, a deadbeat thief who accidentally dives into radioactive sewage. Of course.
Well, course, that damn radioactive waste. Right. I've been looking for it forever. So hard to find.
I don't know. But, the sludge imbues him with super strength and rapid healing, a perfect combination to, hey, guess what? Commit more theft.
Well, of course.
So, interesting.
I'll have to check that one out.
Okay, we got it.
Iron Giant. If you haven't seen Iron Giant,
you should.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, oh. Everybody needs to see that at least once.
That
if not
is
more.
Like one of my favorite animated movies.
It's a brilliant, brilliant film, and it's so deep when you really look past the surface of it.
Yes.
Yeah, the next one really surprised me that, it's on Netflix.
Wow, and nobody's seen Metropolis? It's fantastic.
You haven't seen Metropolis? What the hell's wrong with you?
Spoiler alert,
you know,
almost.
Metropolis.
And it's not that long.
No, it's
like,
not.
It's something I think everybody should see.
But it's 2.5 hours long.
The thing with Metropolis, I think Metropolis has finally gotten old enough now that it really requires some setup for people to understand what Metropolis was and why it is so genius. Because now you look at it and it's like, okay, big deal. What? It's just some weird sci-fi, cheesy, bad movie that's in black and white. But you got to realize this was 1927. The stuff they're talking about in here is insanely future reaching.
Right.
And the technology never existed. The idea of the technology that's in this movie never even existed. This is a flight of fancy that was put into a film that they got so right. Mm-hmm. So much of this came true. And is happening now, even in today. That's what makes this awesome. So
it's a really good movie.
If you don't have the background of it, you can miss it.
Yeah, just remember it's 1927. So that's your frame of reference for watching it.
What is that? 89 years ago? 91? I can't do my math right now.
Actually, math is hard.
What the movie I was thinking of was A Trip to the Moon.
Oh yeah, it's totally different.
Which is also a classic. I think people should see.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I'd say it's like 10 minutes long.
I was thinking. Yeah,
but it's
Georges Méliès.
Thank you.
But it's George funny. Milles. It's funny to see him like. Even in the Trip to the Moon, they're getting in the spaceship.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, they're behind some cardboard or something. It's kind of interesting to see how they pulled off some of their.
But again, and that's the whole thing.
Have you seen the colorized version of that where they hand painted the frames?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And that was Méliès that did that.
Yeah.
That's not recent. That was them hand painting some of this and turning them into color films, which was painstaking and took forever. And there's very few of those copies that exist. Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. Wow.
All right. Keep going.
Oh, Europa Report.
That's another good one, too.
God, that's a good
all
movie.
Together now. Yay. Europa Report.
I have not seen this. Tell me.
Oh, you haven't?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a genre of found footage movie, which, so it's got kind of, you know, the shaky film thing.
Yeah.
So, but it departs from that sort of thing where it has a handful of cameras and a wall of a spaceship create a kind of big brother in space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this basically does a good job. But for the crew members, mankind's first mission to the Jupiter's moon, Europa. So, in the world of the film, a private corporation hopes to turn Earth's first contact, however microscopic, into primetime TV win. Unfortunately, things go bad.
Yes.
Really bad. So it's really a pretty fantastic little movie.
It is a fantastic little movie, and it is the scientifically accurate movie that happened before The Martian. So it is one of the most scientifically accurate films that had been made up to that point. Now, since The Martian has gone huge, we're seeing more of that happen, where it's getting a little bit more realistic, and they're actually getting the right consultants in and cracking open a science book occasionally.
Ah, Cloud Atlas. I saw this in the movie theater. I saw it in the sneak preview.
It was. It takes two, at least more than one viewing.
Well, yes. And the good thing is, you know, I had a huge drink beforehand. So about
that helped?
And it's a long ass movie,
that
folks.
Helped?
No, it was by the end. I was like, oh god, I'm gonna die.
Yeah,
I gotta pee so bad. So Alana and Lily Wachowski's Phantasmagoric Speed Racer is back in the spotlight, celebrating the 100th anniversary. It's on Netflix as well, but. Check out Cloud Atlas. It's definitely an overlooked film.
Yeah.
And it's adapted from David Mitchell's novel. The movie intertwines six stories set in six different time periods, ranging from the 1840s to the present day into the 2300s. 2300s, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's wild because it jumps back and forth, back and forth.
Yes.
And all the actors play multiple roles in multiple of the storylines. So it's kind of fun to go, who is that in the makeup?
Who is that? Yes. Yeah.
And Tom Hanks is phenomenal in it. He does really great job. The very futuristic one is really crazy because of the language.
Yes. It takes a while to latch onto the...
They're saying and how they're saying. And Halle Berry's great in it. And I can't remember the other people in it.
Well, Tom Hanks and Halle Berry.
They're the big ones. Hugh Grant, of all people.
Hugh Grant, yep.
You're like, what? What is Hugh Grant doing in this film?
It's not a rom-com.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, but
it's bizarre.
But it's a great little movie.
It's really worth watching.
All right, this one I did not expect to see on the list.
Tremors 5, Bloodline.
I just watched this last week or this week, I think it was.
Is it worthy of this list?
There's a lot of worm blasting madness.
Yes, it's exactly what you'd expect. It is not as mind-numbingly, I want to open a vein horrible as
the Tremors
4. As Tremors 4, I would put it more in line with probably Tremors 3. So you could probably skip 4. If you can throw 4 out of the franchise altogether.
Kind of like Star Trek 5.
Forget that it even exists and make this number 4.
So here's it. Anyone who needs a movie that can live up to the line, fly right into my crosshairs, you fire-farting son of a bitch. This movie is for you.
That's right.
Hey, it's got the dad from Family Ties. That's all you need to know.
Well, yeah, he's always been in
all of them. Yeah, that's the only thing he's got left going for him.
I want to hear Brian read this last one.
Oh, next. Jesus. I love next.
So we interviewed this guy on Slice, the director. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
I thought you were going to say Nick Cage.
No. It was like pulling
Nick was too crazy for us, even. We never got Nick on because...
the hell you say.
I won't go into it, but there's a reason for that.
So there are good Nicolas Cage movies.
Yes.
Nicolas Cage movies.
Yes.
And there's the good, bad Nicolas Cage movies.
Okay.
Next is
one of those,
dopey sci-fi thriller centered on Chris Johnson, a psychic who uses his power of seeing 2 minutes in the future to game Las Vegas blackjack tables and search for a brunette woman from this one. It's based very loosely on The Golden Man by Philip K. Dick.
Yes.
Very, very.
Very loosely.
You're absolutely right. This is the one in between.
Yeah.
The ending really made the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was, and we're not going to roll it for you, but... I enjoyed this one just from a, hey, it's Saturday afternoon, let's watch a Nick Cage movie.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's like, oh, what's going on Netflix? Seen it. Okay.
Why not?
Sure.
Hey, go to the next one. Oh, the next one is Nick Cage.
So I have one to add to that, and yes. I cannot for the life of me remember the name of it. It's not Circumference.
You think of it while we talk about, real quickly, what has been canceled this week?
Oh my.
A lot.
Do you have a list for us?
One of my guilty pleasures is Last Man on Earth.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's pretty fun. It's not a bad movie.
I especially love the beginning of the whole series where he's screwing around, throwing cars, like bowling with cars. You know.
Okay.
There's nobody around.
Things you do when you're the last guy on Earth.
That's right. Yeah.
Or drink yourself to death. But I like the show. I wish it seems like they've kind of been stuck in a rut, so I can see why it was canceled, but it needs to go a little further, and I don't think it's obviously not going to happen now.
The Expanse was canceled.
Oh, I'm so pissed. Oh. But the good thing about The Expanse is that more likely it's probably somebody else going to pick it up because it's been a pretty solid show.
Yeah.
Now, the ratings haven't been huge, or they haven't been horrible either, though. So, I mean, it's a pretty solid.
I want Expanse to go to a Netflix or to a Hulu or somebody that can take it to the next level because Expanse has been wanting to break out of its limited ability to swear and show nudity and do the adult themes.
If you get the non-US version of it, the swearing's all in there.
Oh, yay.
It's amazing. And to hear Christian Alvarsala, the lady Suresh Naglu, who does it, man, she's got a filthy mouth.
Oh, it's
filthy. It's awesome.
It just needs to go there. Because it's bouncing up against those TV limitations.
Sure.
Right.
And it needs to go to the next level because it's so... It's such a gritty film or show, and the the things that they're doing in there are just genius. Well, it's brilliant stuff.
Netflix said that they were focusing on fantasy and sci-fi.
So it'd be perfect. Budget. Yeah.
So when I saw this, I went, well, that's actually a natural home for them.
It is mm-hmm. absolutely a
we
place
can hope.
For them.
So
we'll yeah. hope.
What else? Brooklyn Nine-Nine got canceled and then got redeemed.
Yes.
So, NBC, who originally had Brooklyn Nine-Nine-Nine, gave them up. Fox picked them up and then Fox canceled them. And NBC's like, hey, you know what? We're sorry we broke up with you.
Yeah, we want yeah, exactly. you. We want you back.
Who's my boo? You know, and so, yeah, so they picked NBC.
The where were these people in the Firefly days, I ask?
Well, Firefly know. Set the precedent for that.
Chuck,
I mean,
too soon.
Too soon. No, it's not. It's you're absolutely right, because I think we had to have a Firefly to that level just because it did wake the studios up.
Yeah. Go,
Fox
hey,
never well, no, I dreamed that that was going to happen. The lashback.
It's the same as Star Trek was in the early 70s. The fans came out in droves.
Absolutely.
And said, we like that show. Why did you take it off the
That's
air?
That's right. Yeah.
And they had no idea that people would be writing letters yeah. to the studio and to the directors and to the producers saying, we want our Star Trek back. And that's part of the reason why
yeah.
they started thinking,
But nobody in this country actually knows anything about history. So we're doomed to repeat it forever and ever. Because how dare you look in the past to get an idea of what something's going to be like now.
What's happened, happened. Look forward.
That's sort of you.
On to the next remake.
Yeah, that's worked really well. For, okay,
how's
I'm
that,
going.
How's that working out for you, commie lips?
Yeah.
This is America, man.
Yep,
we've got
I
Brian
know.
In the studio. We could do a reboot rage thing.
Oh, yeah. There we go. And there were lots of other shows that were canceled, too, like Lucifer was canceled.
Yes.
Lots of other good shows that got the boot. I know a lot of people were really kind of mourning a lot of them. Sam Roberts was specifically. She had a big thread. If you find her on Facebook, you can find it. Everybody's been chiming in on that. So
wait a minute. Yeah. A Crazy Joe says the best crazy, so bad it's good Nick Cage movie has been to
Wicker
be
Man?
Drive Angry.
Drive Angry. Oh my God. Yeah, no, nobody needs to see that movie ever.
It's not a
ever.
I wouldn't say it's a good bad movie.
No, Joe, no. I'm pretty sure that violates international law. I don't think you can actually show it to prisoners.
I can never
that
tell what
that
Joe
is considered
just,
torture.
Is serious or stirring the pot.
That yeah. is considered torture.
Hey,
yes.
Yeah. Part of me does want to see the Nick Cage Superman that never happened.
That but, would be crazy.
No. No one really wants to see that.
Yeah, I said part of me.
Okay.
I'm not going to say which part.
Show us on the doll where that part touched you, Craig.
Craig's a ghost rider, man.
That's right.
Oh, my.
Right. Oh, damn it. I wish I could remember that. I need a thesaurus is what I need.
They went extinct 65 million years ago.
I know. It's circumference or something with a C.
Circumcise. No?
From my mind
it's
to
about,
your yeah, mind.
It's about a guy that has...
I don't want to see that movie.
He has powers that affects people within a certain...
Yeah,
within
right
a certain
okay.
circumference. Yeah. And... it is an amazing ride. Go find it. I'm sure you. God, I wish I could. I got the. It's the wrong name, but look it up. I'm sure it'll show up as soon
we're
as you
go. We're
gonna
go back to the Robopocalypse real quick because you said Google is coming out with.
Oh, if they put
Google's AI into these dog and people robots, we're doomed.
Well, you got this it is, here is this, a leaked demo, but that is, wasn't a leak.
No. Pay attention.
We got to listen.
Let's
to
listen.
Hello? Hi, can I talk to Diane, please?
Speaking.
Hi, Diane. I'm calling on behalf of John to schedule an appointment.
This is the
for
AI.
For what? The appointment for you to come pick up your belongings from John's apartment. Excuse me? John would like you to remove your belongings from his apartment.
Wow. What are you talking about?
I'm very sorry, but John has decided to end your relationship.
Is this a joke? Put John on the phone.
I'm sorry, John's not currently available.
What? Where is John? I cannot believe this. This is bull.
Mm-hmm. How does 10 a.m. sound?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, if 10 a.m. is not available, what time is suitable for you?
Hey, wait. The AI calls back.
Hello?
Hi, can I talk to Diane, please?
Wow, instead of a Dear John letter, it's a Dear John Google call.
See, I was saying that this is the evil that is going to be this AI.
It's going to ruin our relationships, take away our homes. Yep.
Wow.
It's only a matter of time.
It is not going
to... I was equal parts fascinated and scared by that demo from Google.
Oh,
I was like, especially when it went, okay, you know.
I'm terrified by it. I am terrified by it because you think that robocalls and telemarketing is bad now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, throw big data into it as well.
Oh, God, yes.
So, hey, I saw you threw some pizza out in the garbage.
Yeah, exactly. I saw you on Facebook looking at this. I saw you surfing for this, you know. Yeah.
Your other people that have bought on Amazon have also enjoyed.
Yeah.
Hey, Craig, have you done that great quiz online?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait until somebody starts exploiting that as, you know, for, hey, this is your water department. You owe so many. Your bill is past due. Hey, we need your credit card so that we can, you know, on and on. Before, that had to be done with an actual human being. Now it can just be done with a click of a button.
That's the scary. Like you said, I've already started to get ads that say, hey, we saw you searched for.
Yes.
Yeah. And you go, well, I searched for a green purse. Now I see it in every ad that I've got on here.
I get those so I'm on Amazon searching for something. It starts directing robocalls to me for the things that I'm shopping for online now.
So imagine if something called you with a conversation, you could almost be tricked into talking about
whatever.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Maybe not you, Michael. You're too highbrow for that.
Well.
But you know what I mean.
Well, I've enabled two-factor authentication on my phones now, so I do not answer my phone at all.
What, do you get a text every time somebody calls you?
Basically, it's you have to text me. If you want me to answer the phone or call you back, you have to text me first. Period. That's it. I don't even pick up the phone anymore. I can't. Because it is 90%, more than that, 98%.
Even if you know, like, it's from me and I'm in your contacts list.
Yeah, well, if it's from you and your contacts list, I pick those up because if you're in my contacts list, I know it's you.
But if
you.
It's some random 602 area code.
But just random numbers, just random numbers that have nobody attached to it, if you're not in my contacts, forget it.
Michael, you can pick up your prescription now.
Yeah. I mean, my wife calls me from school and I don't recognize the number. I don't answer.
Sure.
That goes over well, I'm sure.
No, she just texts me and it's like,
I needed you over there in 10 minutes. Why weren't you there?
Pick
up the damn phone, Michael.
No, you're not going to get me to do it.
Oh, man.
I have pages upon pages and pages of blocked numbers on my phone. I'm done.
So what's your phone number, Mike?
There you go. So now I'm going to get a brute force attack now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Yeah, so now Mike's my phone's going to be nothing but just DDoS.
Yeah. I'm going to get a SIP line. I'm going to clone your number. And
great,
basically,
thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anytime,
that's
buddy.
That's right.
So you can take his robocalls in.
Sure, why not?
There you go.
I think on that note, we'll not give out Michael's number. And
we've got to mention Mr. Robot for movie shows that you've got to see.
Yes, yeah, but it's absolutely. Not Netflix. That's what the problem.
Oh, it's not Netflix. No, that's right. That's Amazon. Sorry.
AMC? What is it? Whoa. What is
Mr. Robot?
Yeah.
Oh.
USA.
The TV show.
It is
of course. Yes.
Well, it's on USA, but you can get all the series now on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Amazon Prime has the entire first three seasons.
And I think it has Expanse as well. So
and it has Expanse, yes.
Did they get Expanse Season 3 on Amazon yet?
Not yet.
Coming
soon.
Okay, I'm waiting for that.
Yep. And The Tick. Oh, my God.
See, that's the problem with Amazon. I kind of forget to go look for stuff over there because they got this weird view on their... I mean, they spread out their seasons to make it look like their library is larger.
Yes, they do.
And I hate that.
But I love them because they don't auto-run all the damn previews of every freaking show that I'm trying to watch on Netflix, which makes it impossible to surf Netflix.
So they're robocalling you already? we noticed you watch this. You would like to watch this.
Yeah, the autoplay previews, spoilers for every single show they have on there.
That is aggravating.
Oh, God.
When I'm looking at the Roku and it starts playing the preview, I'm like, no, shut up. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, it makes it almost unusable.
Especially, Craig, when you're like, it's like, so, Craig, sexy time at the beach. No, really quick.
I just want Lost in Space.
Yeah, I lived on Netflix. It was like every Netflix was on all the time, and we just surfed for whatever we needed on there. But since they started doing the autoplay, nope. I know there's something there that I want to go see. I go on for a second, find it, watch it, and I leave instantly.
A lot of people, my wife complains about that.
I hate it.
I kind of skip over it. It doesn't bother me so much, but it does aggravate sometimes. Yeah. It's kind of annoying.
Well, we need a block. We need a movement out there. Everybody call in and complain about it because it's got to go away.
It should be a preference. Like auto playing videos in
I thought it was
there,
actually.
There just needs to be a checkbox to shut that off.
Yeah.
Give me the option to turn it off. That's the thing that pisses me off.
Exactly. That's
I don't
the way
care that it
be.
Exists.
Mike wants a big shut the hell up button.
Exactly. Okay. Well, I want it because when I'm surfing for something, those previews kill it for me. A lot of times they'll be playing and it's like, well, I don't need to see this show now. Thanks so much, Netflix. You just ruined everything for the movie. Yep. There's no sense in watching the show.
Yeah, and you can kind of say that about trailers in general sometimes.
Yeah, I'm not a trailer person because I'd rather get the experience of actually watching the show.
I'm a trailer junkie. But it does ruin it for me sometimes.
Exactly.
Well, in some cases, it saves you from the movie. I mean, I've seen some trailers at the movie theater go, well, that was everything the movie has to offer, and I don't need to see it, and now I don't want to see it.
Yeah,
we've also said for many years that Hollywood is great at making
trailers.
That's what they do. They crank those suckers out.
We're great.
No, well, they still are.
They're
pretty
still
good.
Pretty great.
They've been giving spoilers out, and I don't like that.
Yeah, well, that's true. But at the same time, I mean, if the trailer sucks, the movie's going to really suck. Because if you watch a bad trailer, that's a pretty good sign that, this is going to... They couldn't even save the turd in a trailer.
Let's see if we can put a gold varnish on it. That'll save it.
Let's keep polishing. Yeah. Eventually, we'll get there.
No, you have a polished turd.
Look, we got shine.
Wow. Oh, man.
And on that note, Craig's got the question of the week here. Go ahead.
How many friends have you met in real life that were online only for years, maybe?
Well, there's three in this room.
Yeah. Lots.
That's a lot.
I've met a lot of people that I've only known online for many years and then met them in person.
Yep.
At a con
meet them in person is like, that's what you look like?
Well, Chuck and I podcasted with each other for about a year.
Eight, 9 months. And then
before the Podcast Expo came around.
Yep.
And that's before he had video, too. So he just was audio only.
I saw a picture of him, and I was like, that guy?
What's wrong with him?
I've been working with people for 5 years that I've never seen before in real life.
We had a chance last week to meet someone in Vegas who happened to be in town. And I've known her since about 2005, 2006. She was an early podcaster, ran a show for a little while. Unfortunately, due to schedules, and then she got sick. We couldn't meet up. So we're going to make this happen, Dina. We're going to make this happen. It's been like 14 years.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I've met a lot of, you know, there's some I kind of went, I don't know if I should have met those people.
It's not really as uncommon as it was years ago, you know, to know people online and then meet them. Now, because of social media, it's like, you know people a little more intimately and then meet them more often.
I'd say in some ways it was easier back then because the online back then was BBSs. And those were usually
IRC.
Local.
Yeah. IRC.
True. Yeah.
It was within your local calling area most of the time, unless somebody was brave enough to pay the long distance charges back in the 80s.
Well, you'd fight over.
And we would have local BBS meetups. So the people on the various forums and boards and rooms or whatever you called them on your particular software would get together. We had the annual BBS BBQ. And
we had lots of them. Yeah, we had lots of them. We had one for a long time. My friend Steve was always, we go to the GT down at Papago Park, and one of the things we did is we'd always throw Steve in the lake. And he always knew it was coming, and you know he always tried to avoid it, and usually
it's
what
like
happened
the coach in the great Gatorade you know what's going to happen, but
he always he fought it so hard every single time, but it was always funny. He was like, okay, we're having the Papago GT, Steve's going in the lake.
So Chuck, how many BBSs did you BBQ?
we had probably 3-4 BBS BBQs before we moved out of town.
Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think our local only had one get together. It was something lame. It's like seven or eight guys at a freaking Dairy Queen.
Oh, man, we just saw it.
Terrible.
But it was still.
But you could meet them.
Right.
And then you met them and went, I never want to see these people again.
You know, I'll tell you what kind of not freaked me out, but just blew my mind was not long after Chuck and I were podcasting. We had people that were like, hey, I just wanted to meet you guys. I love your show. And all excited to meet us. I'm like, I'm just a guy.
Yeah.
You know,
I write my code one line at a time, just like you.
Yeah. Well, my big thing was people showing up at the freaking door.
Yeah.
They show up at the front door with beer and stuff and think,
at 9 a.m.
meet you.
At 9 a.m.
On recording days. And you're like,
well, not even on recording days. It was during the week.
Yeah, during the week.
During the week, I'd be sitting in there working, doing something, or at home, and the doorbell ring, and there'd be some guy out there. I brought you beer.
You made it sound like a nonstop party here.
Pretty much, yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad you liked the show. Thanks. Right. Now what? Do you want to come in?
Gotta use the bathroom, head on out.
Awkward conversations.
Awkward conversation. Yeah. You just invaded my house. But yeah, I mean.
I eventually left.
They were really
sweet. I mean, bought the house.
Most all of them, they were really sweet, nice, you know, people. And it was.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah. I'd bring them in and show them, give them a little tour, and they'd sit down and look at the mics and stuff. And they brought me beer. So, hey, you know, that was always a plus. And. You know,
I don't drink before 10 a.m.
You know, but thanks for coming.
Usually,
it is usually like on a day that there was nothing happening. So I, you know, it's not like they could hang around and watch a show or do anything.
Well, and the funny thing is, occasionally I get a call from Mike going, "Hey, so and so's here. Do you want to come up and?" Basically rescue me.
Please save me.
Yeah, and I'm like, no.
Look at the time. I'm sorry, I gotta go.
I'd really love to, Mike.
I'm on my way to a colonoscopy.
Yeah. I got meningitis. I can't.
Again.
My spleen exploded. Yeah.
No, it's your house, your studio. You have to deal with it. Sorry, suck it up. That's pretty much what I got.
Let us know if you have any interesting stories, dear listener and viewer, if anything closely resembles any of that.
Actually, I should have changed that to say, if you have a good story about meeting a friend that was online only in real life.
Wonderful or not. Yeah. Some people get married. You know, they
absolutely.
They establish very strong relationships.
Am I looking at a couple that got married because online?
No, we met IRL before online. We communicated a lot via dial-up to the mainframe.
Oh, it was the 300 baud.
Okay. Pretty close, yeah.
300 nice. Baud, wow.
I remember.
When you could read faster than the characters appeared on the screen. Oh, yeah.
No, the phone cradle.
Yep. Acoustic coupler modem, you bet.
Acoustic couplers.
I may have one. Did I recycle that? I don't know if I did or not. I used to have one until we moved, at least.
Yeah, no, I never kept those.
The funny thing is, they had round couplers for the mouthpiece and the earpiece. But then all the phones went square.
Then everything went square.
Shove it in there, Chuck.
Wow. That's if I had nickel for every time I heard that, Craig.
Square peg, round hole. I want to go home.
Good, because we're stopping recording soon.
Touch Craig.
Let's play the out music and go home. Thanks for coming by, guys. It's been fun time.
It's been a long time.
Thanks for listening. If you've got a story or you want to let us know, call us on the listener line at 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT. Send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. You can always send us a postcard like Yorga does. That's always fun. I'll give you the postal address if you're interested in sending that. And you're always welcome to stop by after 10 a.m.
Bring bourbon.
Bring beer.
Bourbon.
Whiskey, bourbon.
Look forward to seeing you again. Until next time, we wish you a very fond week. Have a great time, and we will talk to you again. Oh, we have 2 weeks off because I will not be here. We'll be on a trip traveling the globe.
European vacation.
European family vacation.
Yeah.
Until then, Craig, would you be so kind as to give us a binary high five?
101. There we go.